Amen. You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can come here and worship you. We thank you. We can just look into your word and you tell us things we'd never otherwise know. And so, God, we just pray you just open our minds to receive what you have to say. And Lord, too, I want to pray for all those that are traveling and are visiting, and Lord, you protect them and all their endeavors. Lord, your angels around them. So Lord, I pray this morning you just anoint us to hear from you, anoint me that speak words of the Spirit. And so we just give all thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. So this is a special Sunday. You think tomorrow's Labor Day? Is that? No, it's something more special than that. Okay. This is the last message in Luke. Amen. We started Luke the second week in August last year. Okay, so we finished today. Now, I wondered, I thought, well, this is an interesting time to finish it. You finished it on a holiday, but I consider it the Lord's guidance, all right? So anyway, so we're going to wrap up Luke this morning, and we're going to talk about the Lord's ascension. So that's how Luke ends up. So hopefully we can learn some things, and he will, speak to us. And you'll notice the titles of the message. So Jesus is ascending, but Jesus' ministry continues. Okay, Jesus' ministry continues. So he's ascending. So how is he going to do this? So we're going to look at this. So the first verse we're going to look at this, and this is Luke closing out chapter 24, the last chapter of Luke. And this is where we're going to start off with, Luke 24:48. And so you can turn to Luke 24 too if you have your Bibles. If not, we'll have some overheads here for you. But Luke 24:48, it says this. This is what Jesus says to his disciples. He says, "You are witnesses of these things." Now, Jesus had a 3-year ministry, right? 3 years, and these guys were with him 3 years. Now, we spent a year and 3 weeks, okay, so but he had a 3-year ministry, so we didn't quite go the whole length of Jesus' time. But these people were with him for 3 years, and he turns to them and says, "You are witnesses to these things." So what we have here is Jesus' ministry is coming to an end, yet his ministry will continue. And again, his ministry will continue, not somebody else's ministry, not, you know, XYZ's ministry. I mean, it's like, oh, Apostle Paul, your ministry, Peter, your ministry, John. No, his ministry. This is important to think about. It's his ministry will continue. And what happens is those who had been with Jesus are going to give an account of what they saw and experienced with Jesus. Now, this is really important for the church, because for anybody who walks with the Lord, any pastor, the ministry is Jesus' ministry. Because you see someone take, well, this is my ministry, or this is their ministry. No, it's Jesus' ministry. And what people do, and what the disciples did, they carried out Jesus' ministry. Okay? And so that's keep important, and so that no one will lift themselves up higher than they should be, okay? Because it's always Jesus' ministry, and you should always look for that. Now, so these people, these disciples, are going to give an account of what they experienced and saw. But then Jesus tells them, this is all here in Luke, but he says, now listen, now you're going to have to wait a little bit. You're going to wait because you saw a lot of things, okay, but you still don't have the capacity to do it. You still don't have. And look at what he says in Luke 24:49. "And behold, I am sending you the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high." Now, as we followed through Luke, there were several statements where Jesus would make, said the Holy Spirit will come on you. Okay, the Holy Spirit, you will receive the Holy Spirit. The Father promises you the Holy Spirit. And now, honestly, as we went through it and we covered it, these guys didn't have a clue what he's talking about. They just didn't, okay? So he's telling them, say, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. And so they would go out and they'd do things, and they did miraculous things because Jesus said, you go with them, I'll be with you, and you can do it. And they said, wow, this is good. But now he's leaving. Now he's leaving, you know. And he says, now, but you just stay in the city. Don't get, you know, don't get overexcited and go think. You wait and wait for me. Now, after, or you wait till you receive power from on high. Power from on high. Now, after this promise, Jesus makes this promise to them, and then he ascends into heaven. He ascends into heaven. So here we have in Luke 24:49, says this. Luke 24:50. It says this. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried into heaven. Okay, here are these guys. Okay, first of all, Jesus was crucified, and they couldn't believe that. I mean, they went and hid, and they thought, this is all over. Then he appears to them. Then he talks to them, and he teaches them, you know. And it's like, okay, he's back teaching them, and now he makes these promises. And then he's taken up to heaven. So, and really, it's not an overstatement. They did not understand what was happening, okay, that they were getting pieces of it, you know, and they were seeing him, but they were watching him. Now, I want to read this from the book of Acts. There's not an overhead here, so there's no overhead. But in the book of Acts, it elaborates on the ascension, and I think it's important we look at that, and that how Jesus ascended. And so in Acts 1, chapter 1, verse 9, it says this, and when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Okay, so here they are. They're watching this and they're going, man. Okay, so they got this. It's happening. It's incredible what's happening to them. Also, I'll make a little note here because there's so much confusion in the world. And you hear so many crazy things, you know. Jesus is, I've talked about this, where Jesus is coming back here. Jesus is going to do this. You're going to, you know, see him in Herndon or something. You know, it's what it says here. Jesus was taken up into heaven, and these guys said, listen, these angels said, he will come back the same way you saw him go into heaven. So they saw him ascend. They said, he's going to return. He's going to come back the same way. Now that's important, okay? And the Bible specifically says where? Now we like that. Mention it. It's Mount Olives. That's where you're going to say it. But he says the whole world's going to be aware of it. So there's a gap in between. He leaves them there. He leaves them there. And he leaves them there, and so you would say the ascension is like, well, Jesus is done with his ministry. I mean, he's leaving, you know, you would think, okay, this is it. And so they're looking, well, he'll come back the same way. And they have a lot of information. They have a lot of information, but it's like, well, you just stay here and wait. Stay in town and wait. Don't go any place. Just put yourself in the same position, okay? Now, so that is the end of Luke. That's the end of Luke. Now, Jesus' ministry continues. Well, where it is recorded, Luke gives an account of Jesus' ministry. He says, in Luke, he starts up, I give you Theophilus, an investigative account. That's how Luke opens. Theophilus, here's an investigative account of Jesus' life. Luke, if you think back a year and so many weeks ago, we talked about that. He wrote this letter. I'm going to do an investigative account. He's recording everything. He's a doctor. He's a detailed guy. Aren't you glad your doctors are detailed? Okay. He was a nut, so he's a detailed guy. So he records Luke. That's the reason Luke's the longest gospel in the, you know, New Testament, I think. Okay. So there we have the recorded history of Jesus. Then what happens, Luke writes another letter to Theophilus. Another one. He writes another one. And so the second letter he writes to Theophilus is called the book of Acts. And so look at this. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. I have an overhead. In the first book, what first book? Luke. Okay, Luke wrote Luke. In the first book, Luke. O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. So he reminds him, hey, you remember that? That was a letter. I mean, if you look at the book of Luke, that was a letter to Theophilus. I mean, these guys have been super pen pals. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh. Okay, so here you have, but now you have Acts, and he says, Theophilus, here, I told you in the first book all that Jesus began to do and teach. What word stands out there to you? Look at that. He said, I told you everything Jesus began to teach. Began. He's ascended into heaven. He said, I told you everything he began to do and teach. So Luke recorded everything Jesus started, not what he finished. What Acts is going to do is going to tell how Jesus is going to continue what he started. Now, don't slip past this, okay? See, Jesus only began to teach in Luke. Now he's going to complete his teaching in Acts, but he's in heaven. But he's in heaven. How's he going to do this? He's in heaven. And he said, I told you everything he began to do. Now I'm going to tell you what he's finished. This is how he's going to finish it. The book of Acts tells us how Jesus is going to finish his ministry. Now, here's what he says next in Acts. Okay, so Acts has a little overlap with Luke. So here what he says, the same thing to his disciples. So Luke's writing the same book. So he elaborates a little bit in Acts when before Jesus ascends. So he tells them some more information. We get a little more information now what he's telling these guys before he departs. So he's trying to give them a clue here. So look, if you will, at Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 5. And it says this, Acts 1, 4 through 5. And while they were staying, and while staying with them, Jesus ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. I already told you like four times about this, which you heard from me. For John baptized with water. Okay, everybody got John baptized with water. Okay, they knew about John. So John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. They're going, okay. They didn't know. You'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit, like in the water, with the Spirit, something to baptize. Baptized means immersed or identified with. Something happened. John did it with water, but he says, but it's not going to be like John, because in a few weeks, because later you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, when John the Baptist was preaching, he said, I baptize you with water, but one's coming who's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, because John knew what was going on too. So here we got this thing, it's really set up, where Jesus says, I'm in heaven, and I'm going to continue this ministry. I'm going to continue the ministry. Jesus, in 3 years, established and taught who he was. And this is what he began, but now he's going to finish it. Now, so what we know is the Holy Spirit, what we know today in the church, is the Holy Spirit indwells, okay? We'll say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's Christ in me. Amen? Technically, Jesus is at the right hand of God, right? He just ascended. Technically, he's there. But who indwells us is the Holy Spirit, technically. All right? So there's it. You got the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells it. Says, wait, because I'm going to indwell you. Okay? But he indwells us through the Holy Spirit. All right? So it's a picture of the Trinity. So the Holy Spirit indwells, transforms, and it is the Holy Spirit that will continue what Jesus started. You with me? It's the Holy Spirit that will continue what Jesus started. He's in heaven. How's he going to pull this off? His ministry continues. How? Holy Spirit continues Jesus' ministry. Amen? Look what it says in Acts 1:8. Now, this is Jesus still talking before he goes into heaven. like I said, it's a little elaboration of the end of Luke. But you will, he said, now stay in Jerusalem. Don't go anyplace. You guys aren't ready. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the end of the earth. Now, I'm going to just ask you something. When are they going to be his witnesses? I'm going to wait because it'll make you think. When are they going to be his witnesses? When the Holy Spirit comes on them. That's when they're going to be his witnesses. And he goes, listen, don't leave town, okay? Just stay. Wait. When the Holy Spirit's come, you'll receive power, and you'll be my witnesses. Now, so what we have here, and it's fascinating, and these are all Jesus' words. Now, he's telling us something, and it's important for us to get our arms around this. It's important for us to get our arms around this. So, based on Jesus' promise, the period between Jesus leaving and Jesus coming back, his people are going to be empowered with the Holy Spirit to do his ministry. He leaves, and he's going to return. But the in-between time, how he carries out his ministry is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Or Christ in us, or God in us. You don't make any difference, you can call it any one of them. But technically, it's this. So how is God going to share the ministry around the world? Jesus continues his ministry through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' spiritual presence on this earth, the Holy Spirit is Jesus' continuing presence here on this earth while he's in heaven. Amen? That's what it is. Now, the book of John's really consistent with this. Really consistent. Look what the book of John says. John 14:12. Now, we're wrapping up Luke, okay? It's like, period, Jesus is in heaven. We all go home, have dinner. He goes, whoa, I just started. Look what it says in John 14:12. Now, he's telling these guys. These guys, you know, they're sitting around here and they're going, really? John 14:12, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these he will do, because I'm going to the Father. Now, they're going, how are we going to pull that off? I mean, Jesus, you're good, and it's great hanging out with you. I mean, you're hanging out. I mean, we got 5,000 people. You feed them with just a couple of loaves of bread. Man, you make things happen. He goes, you're raising the dead. Why? You're making things happen. He said, no, it's good I go away. They're going, no, it's not good. He said, no, it's good, because if you believe on me, you'll also do the works that, who does? Who? Everybody's afraid to say it. I do. You're going to carry out Jesus' ministry. That's how the ministry can do. How's Jesus? How are you going to do your? Oh, I wish Jesus was here to talk to my neighbor. He goes, what? He is there in you. You talk to your neighbor. See? Oh, Jesus, why don't you come? He goes, I'm there. See, we're asking for something that already happened. You know? And so the problem is our focus and understanding who we are and what God did. So we're trying to ask God something to do something he already did. See? Oh, if God would be here, oh, I could change the world. I am there. You see what I'm saying? So here's the thing, and because he says, how does Jesus continue his ministry? He says, you'll do the works I did. You'll continue my ministry. But then he goes, you'll do more than I did. See, Jesus never left like a 150-mile radius. I mean, he wasn't a big traveler. It's a 150-mile radius. That's where he stood there. He's impacted the whole world. I mean, just 150-mile radius, you know, and the whole world's impacted. Why? Because his ministry continues through his people. He enjoys. Do you know what 1 Corinthians calls us? Calls us, says, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means we're the temple. Holy Spirit's in, and we're the temple. Oh, God, come. I go, gee whiz. It's like a kid having a candy bar. I want another one. You got it. You don't even know you have it. See, he's telling us something we need to understand. The Apostle Paul picks up on this, and he continues to speak to this about the power of the Holy Spirit working through believers. And so something we need to understand, that when Jesus left, he continued his ministry. Now again, some people, I don't like saying the Holy Spirit's Christ in you. Say wherever you want to, it's God in you, okay? But just technically, Jesus at the right hand of God. Just technically, okay? And it says the Holy Spirit indwells us, okay? But he also refers, well, that's Christ in you, just so you know. But the point of it is who we are, right? This is who we are. Now, so the disciples, now, and look back, they do not understand this. All you have to read through the Gospels and read through, they do not, they're getting a hint of it. They're getting a hint that Jesus is the Messiah. I mean, he was resurrected, and that just shocked them. I mean, they couldn't believe it. They could not, even though he told them three or four times, they couldn't believe it when they saw the resurrected Christ. And he taught them, and it says in Acts, we find that he taught them for 40 days. He resurrected, and he taught them for 40 days as a resurrected Christ, all right? And so he said, now just stay in town, wait until you receive the power from on high. I go, okay, I don't know if we're going to know what this is. I don't know if we know what it looks like. And okay. So they went up and they all gathered together, upper room. He said, say, wait. So we'll just wait. We're in the upper room. Now, I want to tell you how off base they were. And it really was. They records off base. So the disciples are together and they go, you know, Judas, he bailed on us. And this is not looking. So we got 11. And we're supposed to get another guy. We need another guy. I tell you what, I got a set of dice here. Let's do a little crap game. And we're going to go and we'll just pick one. So we hear these two guys are really good. And so it names these two guys. And by the way, you read their names there. You never heard of them again, but they're in here. And he said, well, these guys have been with us. Let's just roll dice and see which one gets. He said, well, okay, it must be this one. But don't that sound spirit-filled? Huh? These guys are, they don't have a clue what's going on. They really don't. So, but they're in there. So they're praying in the upper room. Says, okay, there's 120 of them. It's like, okay, God, you say wait. And all right, we're in here. Wait. And man, we see some big things. So we're going to wait. We're going to wait. And then the Holy Spirit comes. And they know. They have no doubt. They have no doubt. The church begins. And there's no doubt from this point on. The world changed from this point on. And you have Acts 2:1. And they were together. And they were together in one place. And suddenly, they came from heaven, the sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire and appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Wham! I had no question. No question. And from then, what happened? They got courage. They got boldness. They got power. And they moved. They moved in 300 years to evangelize the entire Roman Empire, that they changed from pagan ways to accept Christianity. Started right there. Wait. Because the Holy Spirit will come on you. Amen? Amen? So there's the picture. There's the picture we have. Now, here's a message. Now, remember, the last two messages, I went in great detail talking about the importance of the Word of God. Amen? Okay, so that's, we've already talked about, and I'm not going to repeat that, how big it is, the Word of God. But now everything's different. Okay, the Word of God. But Jesus changed everything. The coming of the Holy Spirit changed everything, the way we function and operate. And there's so many verses I could turn to, but I just want to turn to this one in Romans 7:6. Here's the bottom line. We serve in a new way of the Spirit. There it is. How's that work? How's that work? We serve the new way of the Spirit. Now, the Bible, again, y'all don't want me to go back to the last two messages, do you? I mean, you really don't want me to do that. How you read the Word and you study, show yourself approved, and you read and God speaks to you through the Word. And we could go, let's see, that's 45. I mean, that's an hour and a half. I mean, we could do an hour and a half interlude here. But we'll take it. Just look at the message, okay? But as we read the Word, how we function as people as a church is through Christ in us, the Holy Spirit in us. Amen? The Holy Spirit in us is moving and teaching and leading us. Amen? Now, I want you to think, God is Spirit. God spoke forth the Word and created the universe. Amen? And He indwells us. Do you think something might happen? Huh? He just spoke the Word, and He indwells us. Somebody said, well, I just can't do that, and I just prayed and prayed about it, and I just can't get over it. I'm going, who'd you believe in? He just spoke and created the whole world. Your problems are bigger than God. Something I found about counseling and talking to people, they want to convince you that their problems are bigger than God. I found that all the time. They want to show that they're, and then they're special because God can't fix their problem, you know? That's bottom line. Because if you think about it, now, again, I love doctors. I went and had to go to the doctor and had to cut this sucker out. Okay, now that's, I believe in doctors and you go for purposes. But what we do, we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us in everything we do and transform us to be able to behave like Jesus. He'll transform our inner being. He'll transfer the way we act, and he'll indwell us that we will behave like Jesus. Right? God, Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will indwell us, that we will behave like Jesus. That's transformation. So it's all important that we understand that once we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit, and now there's a transformation coming. Now, we learn and walk and develop and grow just like a little child, but we should never stay the same. Never stay the same. And y'all don't know any of these people. I know believers I met 30 years ago, and they never grown. 30 years, and nothing's happened. Is this like Jesus is asleep in them? I mean, just dozing off? You know, it's like, oh, this is, might as well I put my head back. They ain't going to do nothing. I don't know. One is, how can that happen? Not because you got a smarter person or, you know, person, better abilities or less ability. No, you have God in you, and so God all of a sudden is transforming us to do what He wants us to do. And what He tells us, you know, one of the things I was reading, I said, God, what are you trying to tell me? And you know what He spoke to me? And you know what He spoke to me? He said, Wallace, it's God alone. You mean I don't have anything? Okay, that's just you, not me, right? Yeah, that's it. Like I've been telling you that for 40 years. But you see what I'm saying? He just like, no, it's me. If you get to me, you keep putting this to me, you're okay. You don't think I can handle this? Not really. You know, it's like, no, you can handle this. You can handle this. And part of this physical earth we live in, it ain't gonna happen unless I do it. It ain't gonna happen. I can see this train coming. I know, Lord, if I don't do it, it's not gonna see. No, Wallace, you're not seeing me over the physical. I'm greater than physical because I spoke and created the physical. Do you see? Speak and move a mountain. That's because I made mountains, you know, so I can move it if I wanted to. Speak and move the mountain. See, what that is we're growing in faith. We're growing in faith. He's teaching. Each one of you are in a situation, and each one of you have a mountain, and each one of you, oh, good gosh, how are we going to gather? And God's going, trust me, speak to the mountain, believe in me, and move in faith, and you'll see me move that mountain. And as I move that mountain, you will give me praise, and then you'll be greater ability to move greater mountains because you have a greater trust in me. But if you of your own free will move that mountain yourself, you will just think you can do more of yourself and more of yourself, and it'll take you farther and farther from me. So I'll just have you give you a great big mountain you can't move, and they'll just follow you and crush you if you don't do a 180 here. Because I want you to focus on me, and I want your heart. Amen? And it's the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the Holy Spirit. You go to church after church, and they'll teach you the rules and the rules and the rules and the rules and the rules that are good rules. And you have absolutely no capacity to do it. No capacity. You can't do it. I can prove it. try. Just try it. Just go home and think, I'm going to think of this rule and I'm going to keep it. I bet you don't get 5 days. You can't do it, you know. And it's real exciting because God will help you out not to keep it. Because he wants, let's don't do that. That takes you away from me. So the whole fact of it is, it's important what Jesus said. You guys are going to change the world. Don't leave town. Don't leave town, all right? You know, don't quit your day job. All right, wait here. What you receive power from on high. Then the Holy Spirit will tell you what to do. Then the Holy Spirit will share. Here's something. I love this thing. When the Apostle Paul is walking onto the road to Damascus, and Jesus, and he's persecuting the church, and Jesus appears to him and says, what are you persecuting me for? Was he persecuting? He wasn't persecuting Jesus. Who's he persecuting? The church. He's persecuting Jesus because Jesus is continuing his ministry through the church. So, what are you persecuting? He goes, who are you, Lord? And he's like, I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. He's like, oh, my goodness. He tells him this. There's a man named Ananias. I want you to take him, and I want you to go and see him, and he will tell you your assignment. What do you mean? He'll tell you your assignment. The Holy Spirit will give you an assignment. Oh, what am I to do? Read the Word. Ask God. He'll tell you what you need to do. Now, we renew. Okay, we'll go back to the last two messages. You read the Word. You study. You show yourself approved. But the power of the Holy Spirit is what empowers you to understand God in the Word. And it lives in you to lead you and guide you in everything you do. And it says clearly it gives you power to live these things out. Now I'm going to ask something of you. How many of you, and you don't have to raise a hand, this is rhetorical, say, shared the gospel with somebody or talked to them things about the Lord, and you'll share, and they're open to it, and all of a sudden these verses will just pop, 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 and these things will come in your mind and just say like that. Just, gosh, I hadn't thought of that in a long time. Man, that's incredible. I thought about that. It's the Holy Spirit thinking and bringing the things to mind. Because the Holy Spirit's more interested in the person than you are. So when we step into it and ask questions, God, that's, I mean, the Bible even says, hey, listen, you're going to be before kings and queens and or kings and governors. Don't worry about it. Don't even think about what you're going to say, because I'll give you what to say at that time. Well, if I don't think about it, because it's the Holy Spirit in you. It's a person in you that's speaking. Amen? So here we have this whole thing. This is how what God is telling us about. It's important to know this piece. If we stop, I mean, everybody believe, well, you should believe, so don't raise your hand if you don't believe this. Everybody should believe in the Trinity, right? Father, God the Father, amen? God the Son, amen? God the Holy Spirit, amen? A lot of Christians I talk to believe God the Father, God the Son, and creepy Holy Spirit. You know, I don't, shaky new, I don't know, we'll just hold him out there. No. And Jesus, author, I mean, you can't read the scriptures without seeing the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit is Jesus doing his ministry, continuing his ministry on this earth. So we are to recognize what's going on. Amen? Amen. Now, here, how do we do it? First of all, by the way, to receive the Holy Spirit, you do not have to get in a dark room, you know, with strobe lights and a fog machine. You know, you're going to try to get and play soft music. How you receive the Holy Spirit is you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, now these guys didn't know what was happening. When you believe, in fact, when Peter preached, he says, come, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the Holy Spirit. I mean, it was fresh on his mind. So when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God, I believe in you. You've forgiven my sins. Here's my life. And I just receive your life. You dwell within me. And you're a believer. If you are a believer, you receive the Holy Spirit by definition. Amen? Okay, so it's not like you have to go do something crazy. You trust Christ and you receive the Holy Spirit. The scripture is very clear. But not everybody walks around in the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't even walk around the power when we receive the Holy Spirit. We don't even walk around the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? Because God wants us constantly as his attention to be on him, and that so he wants us to continue to communicate to him like prayer. And so what he asks us to do, he tells us continually be filled. Now, why would he tell us that? if we didn't need it. He tells us continually be filled. Look at this. Ephesians 5:18. Now, there are other verses similar, but this one is so incredible. It says, do not get drunk with wine. That is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, again, I hate that, but just he say be filled with the wine. I mean, you just get a bottle of wine and just chug that thing, all right? I mean, that's probably not a, you know, you're not probably rolling it around, smelling it, and see how good it is. But if you just chug a bottle of wine or something, it has an impact on you. It possesses your body. You're not too stable and stuff, and your thinking's blurred and stuff because you drink too. It says debauchery. You don't get drunk. Huh? But there's something similar on the other end. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, and it takes possession of you, and it affects your mind, and it affects your speech, and it affects what you do. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that word, you look it up, all you Greek scholars, is a continually present process. It's not a period. No, it's a continual. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And you read the apostles all through, well, they're talking, and then they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, what were they before? I mean, those guys in there, you know, I'm paying attention. See, they were dead, and then they were filled, and then they were filled. So there's a possession of the Holy Spirit within us, and this verse is continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, here's the thing. I want to leave you with something. Number one, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay? I mean, it's like, oh, I'm a believer, and I don't have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not a believer. You're not. Okay? You have to have Christ in you to be a believer. All right? But not everybody's filled, because the Bible tells we're not filled all the time. And so that's, and it says, so be continually filled. Now, how do we practically apply this? And this is important. How do we practically apply this? And I think this is what we need to know based on this verse. And this is so simple, and there's other verses that actually say this. We ask. See, we're walking with God. We're walking and talking with God. We get wrapped up in our work, and you're working, or you're running around kids, and, you know, you forget what your name is, much less thinking on Jesus. I mean, you're just doing stuff. But what you do, oh, my gosh. Lord, I need your help. Oh, Lord, fill me. You ask. And what does ask do? You focus on the things of the Lord, and you say, God, I recognize what I ask you. Fill me. Amen? And so in any situation, so how does this practically work? And if you do this, I mean, it's incredible, and you think about it. Say you got a tough meeting with really difficult people. Just a tough meeting, and it's just like, and by the way, being filled with the Spirit, this is not, okay, if I'm dealing with difficult people, I got to do all these things, study these things, and be prepared. Now, that's good, but that's just your head. Okay, so you don't want to go in without any information. But when you say be filled like that, you're prepared and everything, and you walk on, and you're about to walk in the door, you have your hand on the doorknob, and you say, Dear God, Holy Spirit, fill me. Fill me with your power. Fill me with your wisdom. Lord, give me your words in this complicated situation. Give me eyes to see. Dear God, fill me. And you open the door, and you walk in. That's what you do. See, that's what you do. What about family situations? You know, anybody ever have anybody in your family get aggravated at you or anything? You know, anybody, family? You know, so you got family. So, okay, as a family member, I go, oh, gosh. I mean, this person, I mean, she's been an absolute pain for 30 years. I just like, we got to go talk. Wait, Lord, I just don't want to do this. But your mother, okay, I would go, no, I didn't mean that. But you sit there. But you walk in, and so you walk up. Oh, God, okay. And you know all the history, and just have a hand on that. Okay, dear God, Holy Spirit, fill me. I pray you give me the words. I pray that she feels your peace. I pray that she sees Christ in me. I pray that I can speak words of love and comfort, and that you will intervene. Holy Spirit, fill me. And you open the door and you walk in. That's what you do. This is, listen, pay attention. This is part of the Christian life. This is how you apply all this stuff. This is how it works. It's like, oh, that's good. Man, they were filled and he was filled and I wish I was filled. No. This is believers that have trusted Christ. See? Trusted Christ. Say about this, you have studied for an exam. Now notice I said you studied for an exam. Not like, hey, I'm just going to fly in here and pray Jesus gives me an answer. You know, that won't work because he would enable you to just be irresponsible. So I just let you know about that. So he's not going to enable you to be irresponsible. But say you've studied for this test. You just studied everything you knew and you spent time. Or you're preparing for this briefing or this presentation and you've got all this information. You've studied and studied. It's voluminous and you studied for it. I say, I'm ready. So you walk into the exam or you walk into the briefing and just before you walk in, say, okay, dear God, I've studied, I did all I had my capacity to do, you know, I was responsible, I looked at all this information, dear God, I pray, God, through the Holy Spirit, just fill it, and God, bring to my mind, through the Holy Spirit, all those things that I have studied, give me wisdom to present those where they're understandable. God, you move in me in a powerful way that they'll just see Jesus flowing out as I make this presentation, or as I'm taking this exam, that those words will come, those things that I looked at, you'll bring those to my mind, God, and so Lord, just fill me, and you walk in. That's what you're supposed to do. Supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. And so you have this, and so you look at it in anything, difficult financial situation. Oh, my gosh. We're all going to die. I'm sure. We're going to die. We're going to lose the house. We're going to lose that. We're going to everything, you know. It's just like, well, wait a minute. I don't know that that's exactly what the Lord had in mind, you know, like that. Or you have a difficult career decision, you know, what, God, you know, like that. Okay, you look at the situation, you look at the pros and cons, you say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I know you want me in a particular spot. I know you've called me to do a particular thing. God, I'm seeing this from a human point of view, from a spiritual point of view. Lord, guide me and let me see. Let me see, God, what you do. Let me see, Lord, so I know what you want to do with it. Because I want to obey you. I've looked at everything, but I want to obey you. You show me, God. You show me, God. Lord, fill me. Then you walk in with the facts and you make a decision. Amen? And that's part. That's how it works. That's how it works. Jesus died for the cross. We're forgiven, okay? But he's living through us in this life, amen? In every aspect of this life. And through the Holy Spirit, we purposely bring God into our daily decision-making. And the word here is purposely. We purposefully bring God into every decision making. But you ask, hey, I can do this. I got this figured out. You ever done that? I got this figured out. Doing that. Oh, good gosh, was that a mess? You know? See, I think even God helps you there, like I told you. Ask me first. You should have asked. See, so, and what he's doing, he's not being mean. He's trying to remind us to walk with him. That's all he's doing. How will he enable us to do wrong things that will carry us farther away from him? So, no, I got to help you out. You know, so this is not going to work out. The thing of it is, now sometimes, and you see this in the book of Acts and stuff too, sometimes the Holy Spirit will come many times, we don't even ask. And I think maybe all of us have experienced that sometimes. We'll just be in a situation, and the Holy Spirit will just like, okay, you don't know what's going on here. And so he'll just come, or you're sharing something, he'll just come. So he will intervene at various times, and we don't even ask. And praise God for that, you know. But we need to purposefully acknowledge him and bring him into every situation. Schedule, finances, leisure time. You know, he cares about where you go in your leisure time. Okay, I want you to go to the beach, okay? And thank you, say, I want you to go to Florida today. You know, it's like, I should have prayed about that. You know, what hurricane's hitting Florida right down today? You know, you're setting up your tent. You know, it's like, okay, maybe I should pray about this, you know. So, but it's a leisure time. Maybe it makes a difference. Lord, pray about your schedule. Pray about your schedule. I mean, it's like, God, but now sometimes he may want you to witness somebody else that's being blown away. I mean, but you pray about your schedule. And so you pray about, you know, your finances and everything. It's because here's the thing. God is interested. How many times I heard people say, well, God, this is too busy for God. I don't want to bother him with that. What? He spoke the word, created the universe. He speak to me. He wants to know your stuff. I mean, he knows your stuff. He wants you to present the stuff and talk to you about it and lead you in it. So here's the thing. Let me wrap it up here. We have power from on high to do all things God desires. Amen? You can't read the Bible and not say that. We can do everything God desires. Nothing, now listen to this, nothing is impossible for God. Amen? God is in us, therefore nothing is impossible for us. Amen. See, there's a lower amen there than the amen here. Amen here, yes, amen, God, and for us. Ooh, amen. See, no, the thing of it is, and so as we continue to bring everything to us, we build up a rapport, communication, that we're just talking to him all the time. And I've shared with you, I know one couple like that. They've gone to be with the Lord now. I actually know. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, they're the most amazing couple I ever saw. And they were just, it was just like, gosh, I just wanted to follow them around. Just follow them, just listen. Oh, my gosh. See, I was so spiritual. I thought, if I follow them around and I touch them, I get something. You know what I mean? Oh, my gosh. So the whole thing, you can see what God's doing. It's an important thing. It's an important thing. Now, bottom line, come on. I hope you can walk away with it. It's just, come on, just that communication. Fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Boom. You know, there. And you'd cry out. But there's only one way to embrace the fullness of God. Only one way to embrace the fullness of God. And through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. And here's 1 Timothy 2:5. It states it so well. It says, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. Just one mediator. Well, I have all ways to God. Well, they're dead ends. I mean, they're dead ends, buddy. I mean, you're playing with your internal security. Don't just wait. There's a dead end. You got the sunset, but as you step out in the sunset, that's a 1,000-foot cliff. Don't, what are you doing? See, there's only one mediator between God and man. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't we stand? We'll have sing his praise. God, I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you for who you are. And that, Lord, you didn't leave us. And you say the very words, I will not leave you alone. That you left the Holy Spirit. You gave us the Holy Spirit of your presence to carry on the life here, and you want to speak to us, lead us, and guide us in all things. And we thank you that. We thank you for that, God. We thank you that you care that much for us, and so we give you praise. Lord, I thank you for the book of Luke. I thank you for the book of Luke, what it had to teach about Jesus' life. And so we praise you, God, and we look forward and look into your word as you speak to us daily, and we cry out, oh, God. Fill me. Dear Holy Spirit, fill me. Fill me in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.